I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Night.
And if you're watching on YouTube, if this whole thing's even going on YouTube, you're thinking, why is Billy June there? And this is a week where we have to have Billy June there, because I wanted to wait for the show before I asked for your feedback on Billy June's big directorial debut on social media this week.
That was from 2 weeks ago. You just didn't look at it.
Well, you posted it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sypha laughed at it.
Sypha did laugh at it. So, Sypha, are you to blame?
I think he is.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the...
Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life. That's right. Here's the thing. You gotta support these early versions of things so that they can grow.
Right.
It's like a plant. He planted a seed.
I knew it was bad. That's the whole point.
A seed, and then a tornado came and shit on his seed.
Right.
But you have to support so that, because eventually every famous director, every famous producer got made fun of in the beginning, but there was some support and then they became who they became.
Right.
So we have to pour water on this schmuck.
I knew it was bad. That was the whole point. It was cringy purposely.
I know, but I support that. And we know that you know your own cringiness and you lean into it. And I appreciate that. But you also, can you make it shorter? Can you get to the joke a little faster?
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's where how you
like, even if you're cringy, it didn't have to be the entire fucking verse before Juan Epp is
like... It wasn't.
He put Mark Curry's verse.
Yeah, we didn't need Mark Curry's verse. Okay, let's see how long it is before we get to the joke. Easy way to find out.
13 seconds. It's total 13 seconds.
The whole video?
Yeah.
No, that ain't the one you sent us the first time.
No, I re-edited and put it on.
The one you posted was shorter.
Okay. Let's see how long it takes on the one you sent.
The original time was longer.
Oh, the original time was longer. Because the lyrics were, "We never left, don't forget," and I was thinking about you guys. Context.
Okay, that's better.
My own voice.
Do it again.
That's better.
Play it again.
There we go.
You don't need this. You don't need this. Start right there. Start right there.
Oh, please turn it off. Also, I edited out the chorus and found the instrumental and redid it myself.
Wow.
You did too much. First of all, you did
a lot of work.
You ever, heard that term, Billy? You're doing too much.
What is it? What's this thing on Instagram, Billy? Like, I'm just asking. I'm not judging. I'm asking. Well, when you do, like, when people do the comments, they then do all those dots before the hashtag. Why do you need like 10 dots of space before?
Because you want to have like, you don't want to just have all the hashtags right next to it. You want to have it like on the bottom.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
You don't need 10. You need 2, maybe.
He has a lot. Right. He has a lot. But look, I mean, and Billy June, you said it got 4,000 views on your.
Not. It's close to 4,000.
On your page.
Yeah.
How many followers do you have?
Let's see. I have 2,514.
That's 2,514.
And I'm at 3,422 views.
So how is it that our page has 3,755 followers and only has 2,000 plays on the video of our page?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just cooler.
That also, you know what? Must be.
I was just trying to...
WANEP fans, do me a favor. Please tag us. That's a very low number for our Instagram. Please help us out. Tag some people. Like,
yeah,
add
our Instagram's got to get going here. We're
got to get going.
Like, listen, it's not an absolute disgrace for it to just be the podcast page and not our page. It's okay. It's not 150 followers. But, yeah, come on, fam.
We got a quality product here, man. Come on.
Like, let's see. Hey. Like the Drink Champs page. 537,000.
Right, the podcast.
Their podcast page, which is just promotion, has 537,000. And all it is, that podcast is just it's just fucking EFN trying to explain what Nori's saying for 2 hours. I mean, come on. Show us some love, for God's sake.
It's a NSL class. Nori has a second language. Yeah.
But oh my God, I saw a clip this week. I watched actually a little bit on Revolt last night. I was flipping channels and watched, and I watched a few clips of Wale on with Drink Champs, and I swear I think Nori pronounced his new album, which is his last name, Fullerain 2. I think he pronounced it, your new album, Fullerain. Which was amazing. I had a good convo with Wale this week.
Yeah,
and we talk regularly.
I told Nori to hit you about.
He did. He did hit me, and I tried to give him as many facts as I could.
Yeah. He hit me. He's like, "What do you know about Wale?" I said, "I know you should hit Peter Rosenberg. That's who you should hit."
So we had a good interview this week, and I talk to Wale all the time in real life, but in the interviews sometimes, like, I could be having our relationship could be great in real life. And then the interview happens, and the place that he's in the interview is, like, weird and not good. And this week he seemed really – it was very WANEP-ish, his demeanor of he has accepted that, like, to some degree, he doesn't think it's right that people don't think of him the way they think of some of the bigger names, but he's accepted it and found happiness with the fact that he's doing what he's doing. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen,
sounds
he's
like growth.
It is. I think it is growth. I think he's always going to. And I just related. You know, I just relate to that. Some days I do better with it than others. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, this week, for example, I think I can say his name. I don't think it's a big deal. Lenny S is friends with my girl, you know, photographer, hip hop world, etc. And. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he knows we're together, frankly. But, you know, mm-hmm. She got an invite to his Halloween party. I don't. So if I had gone, I would have gone as her guest and just been like, hey, hi. I've known you also for a long, very long time. Now, I brought it up with Laura. I brought it up with Laura, and I'm going to pull you out, Billie Jean. Sorry, I don't know why you're still here, just being awkward.
No, I need to talk about Billie Jean.
Oh, there's more about Billie Jean. We'll pull him back. So I asked Laura about it, and Laura was like, well, she said,
Laura Stiles, the people who are new.
Laura Stiles, original Carhartt girl. And she said, I've talked to Lenny about it. He says he used to invite us, but like he knows we're not going to go because of the morning show. So he, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. I know it's not a diss, by the way. I know Lenny likes me. I'm not personally offended.
Yeah, it's nothing bad about Lenny. Yes, just trust me, Lenny. It happens with a lot of people that are dealing with this situation.
Sometimes the invite is still nice. It's just still, and then my last complaint on this subject, sorry, and then I'll pass you the ball for your complaints. Is I realized, peep this order of the world I figured out. So on my show, the ego pecking order is everyone has to please and think about Ebro first. His name in big, bright letters. He's the guy at Apple. He's the guy who runs Summer Jam. He's the guy. So in terms of like, you know, relationships, you know how many friendships have come in where Ebro had never heard of the artist and the artist was my person, and then you fast forward 2 years and I don't hear from the artist anymore, but Ebro's in regular contact with them. Like, that's regular, right? That's just life. So that happens. Then the next level is when people do their rounds of press, you know, they do us and they do the Breakfast Club and they promote that they did the Breakfast Club. They don't even say that they did our show. Because the clout is to do the Breakfast Club.
Especially on a nationwide level.
Of course. Now, this week, for example, and I'll say this too, because I'm not angry and I love the person and it's fine. And I indirectly am even related to him doing the Breakfast Club. But my friend, the WWE champion, Big E, came on our show and he went on the Breakfast Club. And it was the first time any wrestler's gone on the Breakfast Club. And our friend Chanel, who's my publicist and always brings guests to the Breakfast Club and has a relationship with them, brought him there, okay? Mm-hmm. I was fully aware this was happening, fully supportive of it because Chanel's the best and, you know, she always checks in on our feelings on things and lets us know. Unlike most people, Chanel will do the, hey, are you good with this? Just want you to know this is going to happen.
And that's all we ask for.
And that's all that's you ask for because she's a fucking pro.
We're right? Not haters. We're not going to say no.
I said
we. I'm saying we, like if I'm even on the show.
But you know, but I said, of course I want him to do the Breakfast Club. He absolutely should do the Breakfast Club. So he did. And we had a great time on our show and a great time on their show. And I'm not mad at him for this at all. But then when he did a post about his day of media, he posted a bunch of pictures. The cover picture was the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, but did you do the interview live?
No, but neither did they.
They didn't.
Sorry. Ours was live, yes.
In person.
Live in person and live on the radio, not recorded.
You went to the radio station.
Yes, both. So, did both. He's my real friend. We talk in real life. He's done my show a bunch of times. He's my boy for real. I know he cares about me as a friend. I care about him as a friend. My guy. Still, when it was time to put up the post, the cover photo is the Breakfast Club. That's the bigger play. And I get it. And God, it's so weird. So pathetic. It's why I hate that I care. I hate that I care. Fuck, man. My life's so good. Who cares? You know? I don't even have an answer. I don't even have a follow up.
There's no answer. There's no follow up.
There's nothing. Funny. It's just fuck. Man. Why? Why don't people want to go? Like Ebro will say, "Hey, can we do a favor for this person? He's my friend. He wants to have some no name on the show." Okay, we'll talk to the no name for 20 minutes of our time. Which, by the way, at this point in my life, I'm gonna keep it real. And if artists are offended, be offended. If I don't know you and haven't been. Have a reason to be in contact with your music and I don't immediately hear it and go, oh my God, which almost never happens, I'm probably good on the interview. I'm just good. My schedule's busy. I'll wait till I'm familiar with someone, then want to interview them. So it's a favor. It's taking 20, 30 minutes to sit and talk to someone so they get a look. Mm-hmm. And then the person we did the favor for got the same favor at the Breakfast Club and only promotes that they did the Breakfast Club. Why the fuck am I doing you a favor?
Yeah, because that's it's supposed to be reciprocal.
And I don't even bring this shit up to Ebro and tell him, like, yo, you know the person you made us sit with, they didn't even promote, because he's not aware. He doesn't even look to see. So yeah. I don't even bother telling him.
But think about, but that's why he moves the way he does, and that's why you are moving the way you move.
Like a fucking loser. That's what you're saying.
He doesn't ignore it. Ignore it. Because his shit doesn't come from the posting of the show. His favor gets returned another way. Hey, remember I did you that favor?
Yeah.
Now it's your turn.
Right. Who gives a shit whether you post it?
Yeah.
Listen, you can say a lot of things about Ebro, but in terms of moving in a way that will benefit him in the long run?
Oh, sorry. Can I say a lot of stuff about Ebro? No,
wait, I thought that's what we were... Is that what we're doing now? You want to do this now?
I've been waiting for this.
I got some stuff. I got some stuff, too. We both got stuff.
Oh, man, I got some shit.
What were you going to say before all that?
I'm real quick, in the same matter, I have so much dirt on people.
Oh, go ahead.
That if I was that type of person, I mean, I don't know if it would be a problem, but I got dirt.
Of course we do.
And fucking, I just never, ever, I don't know. I never wanted to drop it.
Bro, Sife, I have dirt on the famous, most famous people who have problems with me.
Yeah.
The ones who have problems with me.
Right.
I have dirt on them.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Everyone. It's the nature of the beast. But you know what? When you're not a savage animal, you go, unfortunately... Unless they literally were to take bread out of your children's mouth, well, who cares? You just gotta. You're not gonna be a douche.
You know the funny thing about Juan Epp
is that we're fucking losers.
No. It's like we have these moments and we tell these stories, and it has nothing to do with the rap game. This is everywhere.
Yeah.
This is every industry, every job, every office, every job, every situation, every relationship. That's why people fuck with us, because this applies. Yeah. Also, we drop an exclusive here and there. We got these wanted moments of hip hop. Great. But this is grown man business where, like, fuck, the same shit happens at my job where I fucking deliver toiletries to hotels. Whatever you do.
Bruh. And I wish, I want everyone to remember right around late October 2021. Remember late October 2021. Because Sife heard two stories from me in the last 2 weeks that didn't make the show.
Right.
That will eventually be on the show. Okay. I promise I will tell them in full. And one of them, I would say, is one of the best stories we'll ever tell in the show. For our audience, I think it will be, would you say?
Yes.
The first one?
Yes.
It's a story that in my real life, when I've told the people who know and love me, it's a jaw-dropper, oh my God kind of story. Yes. And I can't wait to share it with you. We just got to let a little more time pass.
Yeah.
And then...
You know when people do interviews and they go, "I can't talk about I can't talk about that right now for legal issues."
Mm-hmm. And you go, "What?
No, not yet."
Then the other one is crazy as well, and both are like this weird. I've had a combination recently of weird sort of negative energy flying at me. But I've also had really great positive things flying at me.
That's not what happened.
Good Juan Epp business happening.
Yeah.
Good stuff going on. Like, there's good shit going. Yeah, it's all, you got to, I'm in the matrix. You got to stick and move.
Stick and move.
What did you want to say about Billy June, by the way?
What day is this coming out?
Tuesday.
Okay. Wednesday. Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina at this club called Goodnight. Caitlin and Matt. That's the people I always forget to shout out. Caitlin and Matt are huge One Up fans.
Okay.
I love them to death. They come to all my shows anytime I'm in North Carolina. she reminded me that on the last podcast, I said November 4th by accident. Thank you, Caitlin.
Ooh.
November 3rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, the capital of North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
Good Nights Comedy Club. November 4th, Washington, D.C., the D.C. Improv.
Hey, now.
Then I'm there. I'm at the D.C. Improv the whole weekend with Michelle Wolf. But please come to my show on Thursday, November 4th. And now, very important, please, Billy, tell our guests to come in, but also come back on. Put Billy back on. November 9th, Juan Epp is life. Juan Epp is live podcast for the New York Comedy Festival. We got Jared Freed, Ricky Velez, and we got some hip-hop surprises. I had a meeting with the club, a phone meeting with Billy June.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is this guy. This guy. First of all, I don't... Billy June has to be the luckiest, movingest through the game player ever. He gets all this great shit, but I've never sat with a meeting in a meeting with him. So we talked the night before. We made notes about everything. We need this, we need this, and we need this. Make sure we have this, and let's see how we can do this.
Okay.
We get on the call with Adele from Stand the Stand. That's what it is. TheStandNYC.com to get your tickets.
Okay.
TheStandNYC.com. November 9th. Adele is a very good friend of mine.
My good friend, as Cypher Sounds would
say. Very good friend. I love her to death. The guy, Joe, that works there is the technical guy. We had some technical questions. The amount of muttering and stumbling through this meeting. Then he's like, and I'm not good at these things.
And by the way, the best part is he's trying to talk right now, and he was muted. It was amazing. Keep going.
He was like this. It was like,
who?
Sife, he was in Vegas and he had no service, so you heard every other word that he said.
Uh-oh. Billy June. So Billy June saying you sucked in the meeting.
So no, I didn't. I sucked. I was rolling my eyes. So then he's like, is it possible? Could we maybe have six people on stage? No, not maybe. We absolutely 100% need six people on stage. At a certain time, me, Rosenberg, two comedians, and then
the option maybe, of,
you know, Morgan, not don't question or can we get to the, we need this. This is what we need. And like, could you maybe record it for us? Because we need to record it because it has to be on our podcast.
Wait, sorry, you trailed off there, Billy June. Couldn't hear a word you said there at the end. You said,
Billy,
you knew-
how do you get things done?
I get things done.
How though?
I'm gonna when I'm on the phone with you, I fucking bomb.
Why of all people?
I was there. It's yeah. Because I was there.
I'm fine dealing with Adele and Joe normally.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Shh, Rocky, chill out. Nothing's going
Rocky.
On. So Billy June, the person you panic with on the phone. Is the guy who you've known for life and who's basically put you in every position you've ever been in?
Yeah. You know what I've decided that this podcast is?
What?
It's the Curb Your Enthusiasm of podcasts.
Why? How's that?
Because you're just talking about this. You were just saying, you talk about like the shit that happens at work and in your life.
Yeah, that's every conversation is that. Nothing makes that curb.
Buffy.
By the way, I'm not impressed by Curb this week. Did not like the debut of Curb.
No,
I didn't. I'm seeing
people. You always say that, and then you go back later.
I can't wait. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I hope I will like it. It was cool. It was cool. I didn't like Albert. Did you watch?
I didn't watch.
You didn't watch.
But I already know how Larry is. We love him so much. We want everything to be the next level. Oh, he's gonna step. He's doing Curb. It's just Curb. There's two Curbs. There's the first 4 to 5 seasons, which. He didn't know what it was, but it was great. And then after that, he knows it's great. So there's a little bit of like a wink to the audience. Like, I know this is great and you're going to love it. And that's it. Like when the New York one came out, I hated it. And then I went back and watched it. It's fucking hilarious.
No, I agree. And I think, by the way, though, but there are seasons that where the debut episode's not great because they're setting up that it's going to be new. And it is weird. And.
Yes.
Like there's a new character they introduced who's going to be very funny, But, like, the storyline in which they used to get her there was so fucking stupid, even by their standards. I was like, guys, you got to have it. It was just too loose. I was like, you didn't even try this time.
I read an article that said that this whole season is a bunch of jigsaw. There's like 1,000, it's 1,000-piece puzzle, and each episode they're just going to add little pieces.
It was,
and at the end, it's all going to be like a full circle shit show.
Is it, was it a good article? Was it a complimentary article or a negative?
Yeah, no, it was a complimentary article.
You sure? I don't know if I trust that you know what complimentary or negative was.
No, they were talking to the director and he was explaining the story.
Do you know what jigsaw means?
That's true also. Do you know the word jigsaw?
You see that Chappelle thing?
Which thing?
The thing he dropped on Instagram, the little
you'll be shocked to know I did not love it.
You didn't love it?
No.
It was a little weird.
I appreciate that you've been.
I love it.
I appreciate that you. I meant to tell you this. I didn't even tell you this off the air. I appreciate that on the pod you've been honest and fair. And you, like, I'm trying to not be like my dad, even though I'm so. Where, like, I just get obsessed with, like, especially if it's someone I like. When they start doing something stupid, I want to, like, kill them for it constantly. Like, there are worse people in the fucking world right now than Dave Chappelle. Let me be clear. I love the guy, but this move again, I was like, wait. The whole thing that's going on, it just, so you wanted to use that as the tool to promote the 10 shows? Like, I just was like, why?
No, that's how, okay, I can go a little deeper, and I haven't been part of any of these conversations.
Okay.
It's not just a tool to promote the shows. He doesn't care about, he didn't want to promote the movie on this. He wants to show the documentary.
Right.
He made a good film. And if you notice, here's the thing about Dave. He's very angry in that little piece. And he goes, you got to meet on my conditions. I didn't like that part.
That was it.
In the middle.
That was a, that was a really, like, yeah, what, that wasn't a good line.
I did like that he said, you need to watch the entire special before you come talk to me. I did like that.
Totally. Well, that's fair.
And then meeting on my terms.
I'm not going to bend. Don't tell people what you're not going to do. That's not useful. I don't think.
I like what he's saying. He's dealing with a lot of pressure where he's saying, am I canceled or not? Because if I'm canceled, I'm about to go do this. If I'm not canceled, then I'm going to do this. So where are we?
But does he know that there's no such thing as outright canceled? That's not a thing. There's no board. There's no board who decides that you're permanently canceled.
Right, and he's fighting back against being canceled, so that's why it feels different than all the other people who have got canceled, because they couldn't fight back or didn't fight back.
Right.
They had no means to. But if you notice the picture where he's promoting the screenings of the documentary, he has the director's names on it, where he didn't have that before. Because those directors are his friends, and they deserve to be in their film, to be in film festivals.
Right.
That's, they won an Oscar for the last documentary that they made, which is about a car factory in Ohio that was taken over by Chinese, and the Obamas produced it.
Right.
So they won an Oscar for that. This film is also another touching story about Ohio and all these different things. So I think it's like, okay, cancel me. But they made the film. I need people to see their film. Oh, you don't want to set your film festivals? I'll do my own fucking film festival. You know what I'm saying? And it's the move we want to use when someone says, "Hey, you're not allowed to do this anymore. You're canceled." Well, I'll do my own.
I'll go
grassroots.
But, like, the thing is, the only reason you're being, quote, canceled, and you're not, because I wouldn't say not getting invited to film festivals is the same as, like, not being able to, you know, getting pulled from Netflix.
If you were in the film festival and then they pull it.
Yeah, that's a version of it.
They pull it out because of what?
Because
of what?
Because if it's, I don't know, if in fact people were, I don't know. That's the part that's hard, because, like, at the same time, who are you blaming? You're intentionally pushing people's buttons and saying, does it hurt yet? Does it hurt yet? Do you not like this? Do you not like this?
And I'm not hitting you. I'm not hitting you.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not hitting you. Don't hit me back. It's just a joke. Like, the whole thing is so convoluted to me that, like, you know, it's just not his best. It's just, to me, not his best moment. That's all. I think he's such a brilliant dude that at some point he's going to come around and be like, yo, man, remember 2021? That was a weird time.
Oh, remember, when did the Chappelle show get canceled? 2005 or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, if that happened to you and you wished you would have fought back then, you know what I'm saying? And something happened to you, and I fucking wish I would have handled it differently. I wish I would have stood up for myself.
I still don't even fully understand what happened back then.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
And back then, and
it doesn't matter.
I know, I know.
It's an inner burning of somebody, and then it's sort of happened again in a weird way. Your internal philosophy: I'm not letting this happen again. I'm going to fight back. You know what I mean?
It's on
a huge public level.
We can continue this conversation. Let's bring on our guest. Billy June actually got us a guest, which is a fucking miracle. And the dude's actually super talented. And there, some people are going to be very excited, and some people are going to be getting familiar with him for the first time. He's got a record. Yeah, he's here. He's got a record out right now called "Shut the Fuck Up." He's a podcast host, a comedian, a rap artist. Based on the lyrics that I heard, a wrestling fan, sounds like.
For sure.
What's up, Zach?
My guess is a general culture nerd. Zach Fox is here.
For sure. What's up, y'all? Appreciate it for having me on.
Sorry for the delay.
No, it's all good, man.
It's all good.
100%.
Because our producer, yeah. Billy Jr., was shitting his pants that you would get highly offended. We got to get him on.
No, I'm literally sitting
here.
You look like
you're swamped with shit to do right now.
No, I'm you see it's just toys in the background and shit. Like,
he's just sitting in a room of stuff.
Playing Spider-Man right now. Like, I have nothing going on today. Well, so.
We're gonna throw you right in. Yeah, nothing to do with you. The Dave Chappelle response.
Now, listen, let's jump in, and just to give you some groundwork, we do not normally do this. We are not a big say something about the hot topic, but Seif works.
Definitely not.
But Seif knows Chappelle incredibly well. I'm a fan, but I've been very critical of the last couple of months. I have not been a huge fan of what's been going on, whatever. We have mixed opinions on it, but did you watch the video he put out this week, and what were your thoughts?
My thoughts in general are just like, I love Dave. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. He inspired me to like explore comedy, inspire every friend that I know to explore comedy. But at a certain point, I guess what's bumping me the most is like this messianic view that he's kind of overtaken, like where his perspective is like so bird's eye that it's causing him to not be on the ground level with people. And that to me is like that's the foundation of comedy is empathy and sensitivity and like being able to look out into a crowd of
interesting,
just, you know, dirty, nerdy, weird American people and connect with them and everybody across the board. And, you know, aside from all the political and moral standpoints and everything else, I try not to get too bogged down with that, but like, I just really, really, I'm a comedy nerd. Like I enjoy jokes, you know what I mean? So when you put out a special, I'm like, I don't want to see you clean up your messes from the past few years. I want to see you go up there and make me laugh about right now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if Cat Williams put out a special today, he gonna be talking about the shit that's going on right now and have the funniest take on Mark Zuckerberg changing the Facebook name. Like,
right,
what I mean? And like, and just keep us in the moment. And
this motherfucker changed the name of Facebook.
How you gonna change the name? Like,
what is my mama gonna use to contact me?
And that's what I want right now. Like, somebody needs to just be stupid, you know?
Listen, if you wanna get content, where grown up men cry about people being angry at them or not liking them, just listen to our podcast. You don't need to watch a Chappelle special.
Oh, is Dave Chappelle biting the WANEP formula?
Yeah. Why don't people invite us to parties? Why don't our rapper friends talk to us? Why? But that's where I'm. That's the thing that I'm at. And like, I guess I've been frustrated because I have like two worlds. I have like my dad, who's so such a fucking lunatic, who loves to hate the people who should be on your side more than he even hates the people who are on the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like my dad's hatred of Donald Trump, for example, goes so deep that it only gets talked about sparingly. But my dad, who grew up idolizing Bobby Kennedy, I've told Sife this before, randomly, you know, my dad at one point in 1967 or something like that. No, earlier than that. I think it was one of Kennedy's early runs for political office. My dad literally sat on a convertible and held Bobby Kennedy's legs so he wouldn't get pulled off the convertible. Like, they asked, like, hey, kid, can you help out? And my dad sat there holding Bobby Kennedy's legs so he wouldn't get pulled off the car. That's how much the man loved Bobby Kennedy. And fast forward to 2000. And
Hold on. How did any other Kennedy get into a convertible?
Right.
What happened to the first one?
Might have been before.
Okay.
Might have been before. It's a great point. So my dad, a man who was willing to pass out flyers and hold the man's legs to make sure he didn't get hurt. Fast forward 40 years. I said something about, oh, so you're reading a new book about Kennedy? And my dad's direct quote was, I hope they dig him up and throw him in the garbage. So. I have my dad, who every other day is sending me a new article about Chappelle, you know, roasting Chappelle and how bad and out of touch he is, and I have to be like, I have to stop my dad and remind him, like, but dad, understand that while I think he's making mistakes, he is a guy who's generally brilliant and has generally pointed out things on the right side of so many issues, like, don't right. But then on the flip side, you have the, you know, sort of black Twitterverse to some degree, that if you throw, and that's, by the way, that's not a monolith. There are some people who are definitely being critical of Dave, but there are some people that if you bring it up are just on some, oh, of course you're trying to cancel Dave. And it's like, calm down. No, it's not about trying to cancel Dave. But I just, my main takeaway is that I'm surprised the people who are supporting him so blindly aren't concerned about the fact that he's clearly not the best version of himself. The moments that normally make you go, oh shit, they're not clicking the way they used to. And to me, that's sort of my reason for concern, is where are you in your life right now that what you're normally a genius at just seems a little bit off to me.
And where is the culture at that people look at that and go, yep, that's it. That's like,
but that's the problem.
That's the product I want.
But that is the biggest problem, because ultimately, just like Trumpism, what they're relating to is the fact that
it's not the comedy.
They want to say fuck trans people. That's the problem. You're getting those people to say, yeah, I'm with you. And then you try to say, no, I'm not saying that. Well, guess what? That's not what I said. Well, bad news. The people who hate trans people, they're rocking
with you. That's what they think you said, bro. Like, somebody's going to, like, attack a trans person and say, I'm Rick James, bitch. We're, like, 2 months out from that.
That's a great way of putting it.
And there's going to be no denying that, like, it's a connected thing. It's like Red Hat and MAGA and racism. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what they're getting.
You put that on, I see, like, I know what symbol, like, you're saying. You know, like, that's what you're getting.
ISIS comes from, what does ISIS come from? The Taliban or the other guys? What's the other guys?
Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda. I think ISIS comes from Al-Qaeda. And then ISIS was like, nah, we want to do more, son. And Al-Qaeda was like, yo, chill.
Whoa. So, like,
yo, and the Taliban's like, we're kind of just a government now.
Yeah, we're chilling, bro. We got treadmills now. We don't know what we were doing back then, but
we talked to the White House. Like, by the way, I'm saying all of this, all of my progressive bullshit, while wearing a Conor McGregor shirt. I realized this is free. I know Conor McGregor said nasty shit before. I'm not a fan. I root for him to lose. But I love Roots of Fight. That's all. I just want to be clear. So Zach, bro, how'd you... Go ahead, Zach.
I just want to say, no, listen, I love Dave Chappelle. He's my brother.
Yeah.
There's things he's going through. I'm not around him every day. Like, when you're around him every day, you hear different perspectives that he doesn't even ever put out, which is cool. But I just look at it like, you know, when Richard Pryor first flipped, when Richard Pryor used to try to be clean Bill Cosby, and it wasn't who he was. And then he flipped to what we now know as Richard Pryor. He was getting a lot of flack for that. You know what I mean? Same thing with Muhammad Ali and when he left Cassius Clay. You know what I mean? So, like, in 10 years, it might be like, oh, the defining moment where Chappelle became the you know, he's doing something new. Yeah. He's having a conversation because he knew how many Netflix specials he had. So he's having this conversation with the public back and forth through his specials. That's never been done before. When George Carlin did a special every year and a half, people were like, this is unbelievable. You know what I mean? So it could be.
But to that point then, how, with that sort of power and influence, how was this the subject and group you wanted to sort of make the focus of your ire? That's so weird.
I don't think it was you know, preconceived. I just think they keep going at him.
They think he keeps going at them.
And this it's literally folks who are like, dog, we don't even know why he talking to us.
can we just
we just been chilling, and he's like,
and another thing.
And they're already out the door, bro. Like, why are you still yelling?
No, sir. Come on back, madam, sir.
I'm still arguing with you, and I'm going to keep yelling.
And this is a group. Listen, there is a fundamental, really interesting piece, right, that he used to make in a way that made me go, oh, shit. When he pointed out, you know, the original thing of, like, trans women who were originally just white men, that's how they're able to do so much more than black issues or whatever in America. That was really interesting. That was thought-provoking. But now we've gone
that's
way
what
beyond.
What pisses me off about him is that he will, like, we can't kid ourselves about Dave. He grew up in a house. His mom is an academic. His dad was an activist and academic. He's got a Mark Twain Award. He's surrounded by some of the smartest people to ever exist in culture. This nigga knows what intersectionality means. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, like, he knows these concepts. He's not, like, unaware. So I think sometimes he's just being intentionally, like, obtuse when, like, when he can recognize how intersectionality works for a white trans person like Caitlyn Jenner and how that can translate to, like, yeah, that's a power move. And okay, well, then how can't you recognize how blackness and transness coming together as an intersection equals you're the underdog, bro? You're the most, like, killed person, the most hunted person in America. But when he does these things, he sets up these false dichotomies of here's what gay people can do, and here's what queer people can do, and here's what black people can do. And it's like, bro, you're talking about the same shit. These are all interwoven communities and stuff. So when you separate it, I'm like, it's just bad math. That's all it is. It comes down to.
Well, I had that moment too.
Comedy's bad math.
When you say
obtuse, 100%. Patrice O'Neal had bad math all the time, but it was funny bad math.
That's a great way of putting it.
This one's not as funny. This one is not as funny.
And by the way, Patrice was the master of walking you up to the line where you laugh and you're like, ooh, this is a tough thing to laugh at, but man, this is still inherently funny.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I like Patrice, because he told you up top, I'm a misogynist. He didn't try to give you any other thesis statement of him being a good or moral person. He was like, I'm this, and I'm going to walk you over to my side, and you won't even know that you're coming over there.
And that's
crazy.
And it's funny because, Syph, that last podcast we did with Patrice, there were moments where we were listening to him, and I was like, I'm arguing, you know, I'm listening to, I wasn't even arguing, that was more just laughing. I'm listening to and laughing with a crazy person. He is saying things that I do not co-sign. This is wild. However, and maybe this is fucked up too, I felt more comfortable laughing at the idea of him saying I'm a misogynist than right now in 2021 I'm able to laugh at Dave starting out under the guise of I'm transphobic, which he said multiple times in the thing. He's like, I'm transphobic. Because if I was watching a special, he did.
He's saying that sarcastically.
I know, but still, but is it? Like, yes, yeah, it's sarcastic. It is. But is it
sarcastic?
But does everyone take it as sarcastic?
No, but a lot of people, coming from a sarcastic person, I was trying to define my comedy. People always ask you, what kind of comedy do you do? Which I fucking hate that question.
Yeah.
But I realize it comes from sarcasm, and that's why it's often not got. Also, I'm not funny at all, but it's often not understood because
right.
people don't understand sarcasm.
Yeah, and
it's, well, it's like a language.
But the sarcasm gets a little complex when you say, I'm being sarcastic when I say I'm transphobic, but I'm going to say a bunch of things that you might construe as transphobic.
Yes.
If I saw a Jewish comedian get up and go, I'm anti-Semitic, they say it a few times. And then throughout it, he's like, now let's talk more about Jews. And another thing about Jews, by the end, I'd be like, I don't think that nigga
don't like Adam Sandler, bro. I don't know.
I don't think he does.
Actually, is there any comedians doing that? I would love to go to that show.
Trust me, it's going to be in a really shittily run club. It's going to be really small. Yo, Zach, where are you at in the world?
What's up, Zach?
I'm in LA right now. It's gloomy. A fog has descended.
Oh, no.
Upon the city. And it's great.
Where are you from, Zach Fox?
From Atlanta originally.
God, I knew it. I knew a rapping comedian motherfucker would be from Atlanta.
I was in Atlanta last week, bro. I spent like 5 days there. That's the longest time I've ever spent. For some reason, when I go to Atlanta, it's only like 1 or 2 days.
Did you call Eric Sermon?
Career. I didn't call Eric Sermon. I should have called Eric Sermon.
Fucked.
But
I think he lives here now.
Town, man, the comedy there is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird town. It's like one of the blackest comedy cities, though. I mean, I think like besides DC and like I think people in Atlanta are fucking killing it right now. Carlos Miller, DC Young Fly, Chico Bean, like those are some of my favorites.
Who I did? Who was on the show? I did that is phenomenal. Clayton English.
Oh, dude, Clayton's my boy. That
Clayton
man is
English man. Woo.
He's got a great name. Strong. I don't know him, but strong name.
Strong name.
Clayton.
Bro, Clayton, one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like,
I met him
real life funny.
When I had my show on True TV and I met him there. But, you know, you can't really meet people when you're hosting a show. It's like everything is, you know, running so fast. Man, but he had some bits. And I went in there. You know that show? How long has it been since you've been in Atlanta?
Oh, 2017 I moved out here. But okay, I go back all the time here.
You know the show. It's like a late show. It's like a 1:30, I think it's called.
Mm.
It's called 1:30 or 1 a.m. It always starts at 1:30 a.m.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Bro, it's like the equivalent of the Knitting Factory in New York. It's like a long-running show that has been passed down to different producers. And I went in there. I was like, I'm good. They have me going like second to last. But like I've been killing it all weekend. This is like a bonus show. I'm just going to do what I've been doing. And then Clayton goes up, and I go, I should go look at my notes.
He was that good.
I should probably focus on what I'm about to do here and not fuck around.
Yeah, Clayton's serious business. Yeah, so I love it.
So you're a Renaissance man. You do a lot of different things, Zach.
I guess, yeah. I'd just be bored.
I mean, by the way,
I got ADD.
You have a song on your – when I first looked you up the other day, and I apologize for being late to the party, but I'm old, so.
That's all good.
We're old.
Jesus is the one.
Mm-hmm.
36 million Spotify streams.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, want to hear that for a second? Let's listen. Let's take a listen, shall we, everyone?
Let's take a listen.
This is from what year,
Jesus
Zach?
Is the one. I'm depressed, right?
Yeah.
Depressed.
Yeah, this is from 2019, me and Kenny.
All right. 2019.
Hey, hey, bitch, you better praise God or I'ma shoot and that's on God. I ain't playing by my Lord and Savior, I'm on my job. If you ain't a Christian, I'ma stab you in the face. If it ain't about Jesus, I'ma hit you with this cane.
Jesus is the one.
Hell yeah, praise Jesus Christ, nigga, free Palestine, free TK. It's the trap game, Abraham Lincoln, 4 score and 16 bars ago. R.I.P. Betty White, she ain't dead before when she died, because I know it's coming up.
Whoa.
Get it. Hey, little bitch, how you not gonna fuck on a real nigga? Yeah, I'm getting paid, still late on my bills, nigga. Yo, bitch at my crib, I just let her charge the iPhone. Ask me if these diamonds, nah, bitch, these some rhinestones. Armpit musty, Reebok's dusty. My show got canceled cause white folks don't trust me. Now I'm in the strip club with glue on the bottom of my shoe, nigga. That's how I'm due. Hey, I'm stealing money from these bitches. I'm hitting licks year round like it's Christmas. I got addictions. I take the condom off and drug my nut. It's delicious. I want to get a whip and crash it in the way on businesses. Hey. Hey, no. Hold on. I got this hook.
Hold on. I got this hook. Hey. Here we go. Hold on.
Hey. 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 I'm going to dip my balls into some $1,000 dressing. Because I got depression. I'm going to avoid my taxes. Then I'm going to get arrested. Cause I got depression. I'ma rob my mama and I'ma spend the money on an old Chevy. Cause I got depression. Everybody know, nigga, you need to learn your fucking lesson. Nigga, I got depression. Hey.
Wow. Wow. Okay, I get it now. I get it.
That's beautiful, Peter Rosenberg, the moment, like just seeing the moment of Peter Rosenberg be like, who is this?
Yeah, that's it. I learned. Because I was listening to your new shit the other day, and the ones I was listening to have humor in them, but they're not as blatantly comedic as that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a moment of like, that was Kenny Beats has a show called The Cave on YouTube, and he just has people and friends come in and freestyle. And we weren't even trying to make a real ass song. I was in there like just trolling that man and like and being a nuisance. And
yo, Free Palestine and Free Take A is incredible.
Yeah, and it just ended up being like the biggest song of both of our careers, accidentally.
How long have you been doing the rap part of things?
Since 2018, I was dabbling. I mean, you've interviewed a close friend of mine years ago, Father from Awful Records.
Yeah,
that's my cadre. That's all my brothers. That's who I came up with.
Atlanta, also, right? Of course,
Atlanta.
How is Father? You
know, he's good. He's really good. He's living the country life, going mudding. He's got a baby now. He just ride around ATVs in the country and like he's being a true dad, like to the truest sense of the word.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect because his name is Father. So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad to see this.
It's about fucking time. Yeah. But yeah, that's all my friends. And I would dabble back then. And then like 2018, me and Kenny started playing around, and then I just kind of like stuck with it. And I'm just trying to like, I'm just exploring it as a medium like anything else.
And how long have you been doing the comedy part?
Since like 2016.
How old are you?
30. I just turned 30.
Man.
Yeah.
You move it really, really well, bro.
Man. I hope so.
I'm exactly on the set of Sam J show.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, did we meet before that though? We might have met once before that.
I feel like we did somewhere. I think we met at a Thundercat show a few years ago.
Yeah.
Sife, I never saw your episode of Sam J. Did they keep you in it? Because I watch people get edited the fuck out of that show. I don't think I could do it.
I also haven't watched it, but from all the response I got on Instagram, I had a really good line.
You had a good line.
Yeah,
something hit.
You did
something hit that sparked Sife, this was dope. I don't know how much of it.
I love Sam J's show. It's one of the first, and we've been meaning to have her on too. It's one of the first shows that has a new format that I actually was like, oh wow, this is I've never seen this new format. Yeah. Cool. And that's hard to come up with. It's a great idea.
Super
that
hard.
Everyone's like, we're going to come up with some wacky stuff and you can't do it. But but the first episode,
every show goes, we're going to come up with a new format. But then the log line is The Office meets food, like Top Chef. And I'm like, well, those are two formats you're just slamming together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard to really break out of the shit and actually.
I know, super hard. I mean, also because, I mean, listen, TV is TV no matter. Like, the funny thing is, like, all this TikTok shit that's happening now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a flat screen that we're looking at. We're looking at somebody use the camera to, you know, pre-project themselves to us. All this advice that TikTokers give to other TikTokers is radio advice that we got in fucking 2007. It's like, start with a hook. Start with a hook. Have a niche. Mm-hmm. Have something that's your format.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm listening to this. I'm like, bro, I did this for fucking years.
Yeah.
It's just a little quicker now. There's no,
you know, but the big rules stay the same, like throughout.
Yeah, but everything. Don't laugh at this, by the way. This is you have a career to take care of, but Sife and I don't. But I got, that's why I respect what Charlemagne's doing, because he was like, I want to take the John Oliver format, but make it fucking terrible. Like, I think that was, how do I take the John Oliver format with no comedic chops whatsoever and do that as a show? And, like, to me, that's, again, that you're doing something different. So I like that.
Did you watch it? Did you watch it?
I've jumped in.
I watched it. Yeah, I saw a couple clips.
Hold on. I'm going to remove. Hold me, remove him from the watch. Hold on, Zach.
Yeah. That goes to show you, man, that fucking TV writing and that comedy shit is not to be fucked with, man.
It's so important, dog.
How many shows have you written on, Zach?
Not a lot. I wrote on Eric Andre. I wrote, helped build the show with Sam, a show that's coming out soon, Bust Down, that's also got Sam, Jack Knight, Langston Kerman, and Chris Redd from SNL.
Oh, nice.
That whole crew
was like a LA crew. Like if you had to do comedy in LA, you would always see them. That was a crew. And then
that's the little pod.
Chris Redd got on SNL. Sam J got on as a writer. Then mm-hmm. Jack Knight does a bunch. He writes on Big Mouth. He writes on a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And who's the other guy? And Langston was on Insecure, right?
Yep. And The Boys and God Bless This Mess.
They were like a little crew that all got on in different ways. And then they had an idea that they're now putting out together, which I fucking love that they went back and doing their shit together.
So what you're doing you're doing that right now?
We already wrote it and they shot it and wrapped the season. I wrote an episode on there. That'll be my first actual like episode of television, because I didn't start like actually getting in writing, you know, script writing. You know, you can be in the room and you're punching up jokes and you're pitching jokes, but having that responsibility of the script, they were like, we trust the homie. So it's really dope. I think it's like, I don't know what anything is anymore. As a 30-year-old, I feel like a 30-year-old black man now might as well be a 52-year-old like Korean nigga. I don't even know like what culture is anymore. I don't know what people like anymore. That's why I just do shit and work with dope people. But if it's a hit, I would love for it to be a hit, because in my opinion, it's one of the funniest shows I've ever witnessed.
So what kind of show is it? It's a sitcom kind of show?
To Cypher's point, you know, we have to compare everything to something white people did. So I would say it's the Black Always Sunny for people who don't want to dive too deep into it.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, you know, you have these very terrible people and they get in different situations. But it's from a black lens, and it's not I think what I like most about it is that it's just stupid and it's silly and it's not trying to be bogged down in like morality or the existence of being black right now. And I feel like everything black on TV right now is like a reaction to last year. And like, it's got to say something about race. And I think all that stuff is great too, but man, I grew up watching dumb shit. I grew up watching Menace to Society and Chip and Dave and things that were just pure silliness. So
I woke up today, Sife, and my girl was watching House Party. House Party. And by the way, people used to do dumb shit and also say shit in it. Like, House Party has its messaging. And to come out in 1990 and portray this, like, sort of suburban black teenage world, it all was something and also wasn't intentionally hitting you in the face so hard that you're like, you feel like that's what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? House Party, the people of House Party are the parents of Tyler the Creator and Odd Future.
What?
Not literally.
Not literally, but I'm saying because Tyler the Creator and when
I thought you were saying out, some of them were like extras and
you're like, wow.
I was like, what? No.
I'm saying when Odd Future first came out, they said they were black kids born in the suburbs and they were and skateboarding and doing drugs wasn't like they got introduced to it, like because they moved into a white neighborhood. They were born into it. You know what I mean? So like that house, but the 90s, like what Compton originally was supposed to be like this kind of like upper middle class black suburb. You know what I mean? And these are the parents of what who became those type of kids.
Suburb well, yeah, they were 16 in 1990, 26 in 2000. Yeah, yeah, basically. Age-wise, yeah. That's basically about right.
You did a large jump in age.
That was a big one, yeah.
Like, bro, you could be having kids at 16.
I made them 26. Okay, I'm 21 in 1995. I mean, listen, I'm 42 and don't have kids, so I'm trying to do the best math I can, okay? So, Zach, what was your you just went out to LA and started meeting people? What was your path?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was with Awful, like pretty heavy, and I had kind of like a social media presence already that people were like, oh, this dude's funny. And I was like, man, I feel like there's another echelon I could take it to, because I just don't want it to exist online. And so I just came out, started meeting people, met Thundercat and Fly Low, worked on was in a film that Fly Low did a few years ago. And then, yeah, just really started like connecting. I always wanted to keep my shit, you know, focused. I never wanted to be just like a TV writer that's bouncing around, da da da, like doing whatever kind of shows. But I wanted to learn like every angle of the craft and just kind of like study.
What's your Thundercat connection?
We literally met via Twitter. Like, we were both just being idiots, like talking shit to each other on Twitter, and we linked up in real life and got so drunk that we like stole a person's Uber and like I think we fought, and then
fought each other.
Just like, yeah, we fought each other, and we've just been brothers ever since.
That's how you meet. That's life.
What did you do with him? You directed something, or
I did album art pretty early for Steven, and I directed the Dragon Ball Durag music video with Kali Uchis and Haim. But that was honestly like the stuff I was trying to do. I was like, I just want to be around creative people and you know, one day make like kind of an opus, but I just wanted to like learn and just use LA as like a dojo, like a hyperbolic time chamber, just get good at a bunch of shit and make some dope art.
I know you're not gonna give it all away, but like, do you have an idea in your brain of what the opus relates to? What part of your story is?
Look at this great interviewer, Peter Rosenberg.
You always say that when I ask a question that's not mind-numbingly stupid. Sorry, I'm looking for my girlfriend's dog. You have to call it out. Like, can you let us just have a good question?
I think it's a great question. Can I say one thing when we talk about mind? What did you call it? Mind stupidly? What did you say?
Me?
Mind-numbingly.
When I ask one question, it's not a mind-numbingly dumb question?
Well, I'm going to tell you something mind-numbingly dumb, and I feel bad.
Go.
Did I make fun of Billy June so much? I did not press record on this interview.
Oh, I got it.
I have not been recording any of this.
So your audio is going to be the audio I have of yours?
That's right.
Did you hit record now?
Why? What's the point?
Yeah, I guess what's the point? Yo, but I was going to say at the very beginning, we started so quick, I was going to stop you and go, you didn't hit record, did you?
No, Zach, we're recording.
You're
you,
good, but
yeah, you no, I send separate audio.
Listen, so, I'm just having a conversation and then playing Spider-Man. Yeah, I'm enjoying my morning.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good, because I didn't record either.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What would the opus relate to?
Like content wise, like thematically.
Yeah. Like, I know, you know what the story is, your ultimate story you want to tell obviously has, it's either some like fantasy story that's never been done before, or it relates to your life in a specific way. Like, what is it?
It's both. I really want to make something in the sci-fi realm. Like, I'm tired of where everything's going with just like horror and like everybody trying to make Get Out. But, yeah, sci-fi, and definitely like, I guess if I could get it to the most simplest terms, I think my goal is to really like kind of do what we've been talking about, like show, I just want to show like real ass funny people in the South, and not like the glitzed up, glammed up, kind of shined up version of what Black television has kind of become. Like, I want to reel things back and get it like and grounded a little bit more. Some of the funniest people I know are just from like towns that just got a Target, you know, and Macon, Georgia, and Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina. And I just want to make like a real Southern Black comedy that like hasn't been tapped into before.
You saw Killer Mike show on Netflix?
Yes.
you saw when he did the strip club church?
Yep.
Bro, one of the most powerful moments I ever saw on television is when that black woman was crying and she said, I don't want to always be a strong black woman.
Yeah.
I just want to be a black woman.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we got to put up this front of being super strong and we're not all gangsters and ignorant. And also, there's a lot of middle people.
And I'm like, why is nobody getting in that? It's like you have this massive stake and you're just like cutting off the finest ends. And no disrespect to anybody who has a TV show, I respect it all, but like, oh shit.
Like, you know, Obama.
Here we go. Is it big?
No, we're good.
Who is it? Huh? Answer.
Is someone
it was Thunder. It was Thundercat.
Put him on.
How do I put him on? Hold on.
Just put, hold the phone. Face or you can hold the phone up.
Oh, that would be hot.
Yeah.
Why are you being so weird, Zach?
Yeah, man.
I'm so weird about my phone.
Why are you being so weird, man? We're trying to talk to Thundercat on the podcast.
He called me and then immediately.
Damn, disrespected your whole shit.
Then he goes. Like the image then like, he goes. Oh. Accident.
Accident. Yo, so I was going to say something, and I know this, I don't know if this is a not cool thing to say.
Careful.
So I'm not a big Insecure watcher, even though I feel like I probably should have been. I never have been.
How did I know that was where I was like, I felt like I was muscling it that way?
Because you did, but it's okay. So
how dare you?
I know, and I love Issa. And I mean, I'm so excited to see Amanda become what she's become. It's crazy. It's great. It's all great. Yvonne Orge is from DC. Love it all. But when I watched the other day, because my girl watches it, and I've only jumped in at random times throughout the whole series, the one thing I was struck by is I was like, I get why this show has to be the way it is because there's such a void that you have to be blatant about, like, this is a show for black girls.
Yep.
And because there's so little of it, it's so blatant. But there are scenes.
They only have so many episodes.
There are scenes where they spend
nothing happens.
3 minutes establishing the black girl-ness of the scene. And I'm like, I know mad black girls who don't spend all their time just being like, that's right. Okay. Yes. H-U. Oh, like, it's it. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's not real and it's not funny, but I'm saying like, Sife just hit record now. And he sent it already. He uploaded it. Rosenberg white-splaining Insecure. I guess this is how you think black girls act, Rosenberg. Oh.
This is gonna be a gift, like
but like Zach is that's what I'm like. It just felt like I can't wait for there to be a time where there are more shows and more nuance where it doesn't have to be just kind of all such a like very clear. That's what makes this show the show.
And I think that like that's why Issa is so necessary and so needed because in a weird way that is kind of the only way. A Jack, a Sam, a Langston, and a Chris can come and go, all right, well, we're making this show that's to the left of that.
Yeah.
But it really is.
Needed that one to
yes.
What do you call it? Cornerstone it.
Exactly.
And then now we can move left and right from that.
And I thought that as I was watching it, I'm like, oh, that's what this show, that's why 5 years ago when this show started and there was nothing even close to it, it makes perfect sense that this is that show because no one had even done that before. No one had even done a thing where you go, oh my God, I relate to that. Oh, wow. They're talking about the experience of black people in college. Oh, they're talking about the experience of black women in Los Angeles trying to make it in business. It makes perfect sense. But yeah, now the door clearly seems like it's got to be time for us to get all these different views of that.
Yeah, that's how
we have
long
to.
It takes, man.
Yeah, that's how long. Like my dream is to be able to put people like Clayton on TV because you've never seen a Clayton English on TV. No. You know what I mean? You've never seen a Carlos Miller besides Wildin' Out. He's a very successful man, but it's like, I think one of the most powerful moments that I've seen in the past decade was seeing Cat Williams on season 2 of Atlanta, and seeing how they were able to take this like raw comedic legendary talent and transform it into something that blew you away on TV. Oh, just blew me away. It blew you away. And I'm like, that's what we need more of. But it can't just be Donald and Issa. It's got to be like, we have to like, you kind of got to flood the streets.
I actually just watched the second season of Atlanta. The move to use Cat Williams in that role was
genius.
The only thing I hated about that episode is the cops are not letting you go back inside to get your man. That part was bullshit, especially with talks of a gun.
Right.
That was the only part I was like, this is, I get you got to do this, but this is.
I'm too far removed from when I saw the episode to remember what happened, but I know it was a fucking fire scene. He won the Emmy for it.
Yep.
Who did?
Yep.
Cat
Williams.
Cat won an Emmy for that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude is amazing.
That's fucking dope.
It is. How often do people bring up Donald Glover in conversation with you when they hear what you do?
Almost never. I feel like Donald is like such in a stratosphere of his own that like.
There you go.
And maybe it's a good thing. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's fire.
That's in my storage.
I think that's a good thing. I think when like, you know, there's someone from your same city who, you know, is a quote unquote like multi-hyphenate and nobody's like, oh yeah, like so-and-so. And they're just like accepting the fact that like hella black dudes can be funny in the same.
And rap and make TV and. Or maybe there's they just like, maybe they
there's
just think,
40 there's 40 white women who all are the same actor to me in movies,
right?
Like 40 of them.
That's probably more than that.
Probably more.
The only reason why this woman didn't get the role is because she was doing something else, so we gave it to this woman. Like it's very interchangeable.
Is it also possible that they think you're so much less talented than Donald that they're just like we don't want to bring this up.
Fucking idiot. Yeah.
Have you ever heard Redbone, sir? Yeah, we don't think your little depression song's going to do it. Okay,
right.
Pal?
I think that's probably closer. Redbone got a TV show green lit.
No. How about this? Redbone, dig this. Redbone is the reason that fucking Donald Trump Jr. is throwing the word woke around constantly. I believe.
Because he heard that.
I think Redbone took the word woke to an entirely whole, I hate the word now. It's like almost an unusable word in every way. But in that moment.
My favorite word.
Why do you like it so much, Life?
It's my favorite. The concept of woke is, it's so deep and so layered.
Oh, the stealing of the word?
But not even
so many times?
The term woke is the incorrect way that, I don't want to say black people, I'll say ghetto people. Woke is the incorrect way ghetto people say awake. Mm-hmm. So already grammatically, it's wrong. But it's the way we use it, so it's right. And then
it just got so hijacked. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. The word is, hey, stay awake. White people are out here stealing our shit. And then white people stole that.
Yeah.
They stole the word about stealing.
Stealing from black people, yeah.
It's so deep how they fucking got away with this shit.
But then, it used to be liberal white people who stole it. Now the right-wing white people have stolen it. So if you 100%. Use it, I'd say that word is used 90% negatively now. It's an almost exclusively negative term to talk shit to people.
Yep. Yep.
When a white woman yells at a black person, like, stay, like, I'm woke. I'm like, what is happening right now? What vortex are we living in? Yo, you ever see on Instagram or TikTok when it's like proof that we're living in a simulation? This is one of those fucking, this is a Matrix program that someone's running on us. Like,
we gotta start coming up with nonverbal shit. That's our biggest weakness as a black community.
We keep
putting it to words, and that we got to stop doing.
We can steal that too.
Right, yo.
We steal it all.
The telepathy whites.
How many stories have dropped? I haven't been paying attention. I only saw one. But how many stories are there this year of white people dressing as black people for Halloween?
You got to wait till Monday.
Yeah, you got to wait. Usually
when Halloween's on the weekend, like there'll be some today, there'll be some tomorrow. Like I saw one, some guy in I think it was Indianapolis, or I think he was a preacher, and he dressed like Randy from Sexual Chocolate and Coming to America.
Oh, you got
to
go blackface for that. Hey, by the way,
you gotta put it on.
Zach, will you hang out for a little bit longer with us?
Yeah. All right,
let's Syph. Let's jump over to Patreon, shall we?
Ooh, why not? And you know what? Since we're jumping over to a new show,
hit record, baby. All right, we'll catch you guys on Patreon. Zach, where can the freebie cheapos who listen for free? Where can they catch all your shit?
Zach Fox on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. And check out Pause with Sam J. Yeah, ZackFox.
Not ZACH.
I'm following you. I'm going to follow you right now, Zach. I want to follow back, though, or I will feel away after a while.
I got you.
I'm just letting you know. I'll be on the podcast going, you know, Zach still doesn't follow me. It's unbelievable. All right, guys, we'll see you on Patreon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.